Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard, with anchorman David Balderato, Paul Rasmussen, a little under the weather. Good to have David with us. Hope to get Paul back ASAP. Meanwhile, Aaron, this storm, Category 5 Hurricane Melissa, bearing down on Jamaica, unprecedented in their history. Have you ever been through a hurricane?
No, I haven't.
I have several over the years, and you just there's a period where you just wait, and it seems interminable that you're waiting, and this situation is catastrophic. CBS's Michael George.
Hurricane Melissa making landfall on Jamaica, the strongest storm to ever hit the island in nearly 200 years of recorded history. Now, Melissa is already blamed for at least 7 deaths in the Caribbean, including 3 in Jamaica, 3 in Haiti, and 1 in the Dominican Republic. The storm's outer bands are lashing the island with strong winds and heavy rain. Jamaica's prime minister is warning there is no infrastructure in the region that can withstand a Category 5. CBS's Bradley Blackburn is tracking the latest developments for us. Bradley, one of the most dangerous things about this storm is that it's moving so slowly.
Right now, Melissa is moving at just 2 miles per hour. That, of course, is slower than most people walk. And it means the worst effects of this storm could linger over the island. And whenever that happens, Jamaica is facing the threat of historic damage.
Millions in Jamaica are bracing for monster Hurricane Melissa, bringing the threat of forceful winds, catastrophic flooding, and deadly landslides.
She's slow and she's wide, so all areas of the island are expected to feel some impact.
Jamaica's Red Cross has set up shelters around the island.
We have been disseminating drinking water, cleaning kits, hygiene kits.
Ahead of the storm, local business owners boarded up doors and windows and piled sandbags.
We are just praying for the less worst to happen.
Stranded tourists are hunkering down in hotels.
We just came to have a good time, and now we're kind of stuck here.
That includes St. Louis hairdresser Marnice Stewart, who's riding out her first hurricane at a Montego Bay resort.
They've been giving us care packages that have like cups of noodles, tuna sandwiches. Continue to pray for Jamaica.
In southern Florida, home to the second largest Jamaican American population in the U.S., volunteers packed boxes of food, water, and other supplies in hopes of getting vital aid to the island nation as soon as it's safe to do so.
I have a lot of family back home in Jamaica that will potentially be impacted by this. We're really nervous for them, but we're very hopeful.
The strongest storm of the year is also expected to slam Cuba and parts of the Bahamas sometime between today and tomorrow.
And this morning in Jamaica, there are already reports of power outages and downed trees. And the National Hurricane Center is warning total structural failure is possible in places within the eye wall of this storm. The next few hours will be critical.
CBS is Bradley Blackburn. So you may wonder, when you hear Category 5, that is the highest designation, Aaron.
Right.
And so what exactly does that mean? It's on what they call the Saffir-Simpson hurricane wind scale, which includes the five categories based on the storm's sustained wind speeds. It also estimates possible damage to property ranging from some damage to, in this case, catastrophic. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has predicted an above-average season last year with 17 to 25 named storms. And this year, the first hurricane that reached that designation was Aaron. If you remember, it, you know, rapidly intensified on August 16th and weakened almost just as quickly. So overall, the coast here and the mainland United States hasn't dealt with what could have been a series of catastrophic storms that we experienced, you know, just a year ago when back-to-back storms devastated parts of our country.
Yeah, I think I really feel for those that just went there to visit, have a little time off. If you've never experienced a hurricane, trying to understand that slow, warm waters, slow wind, how that can even contribute to it becoming a Category 5, it's hard to wrap your mind around that.
Yeah, so a Category 5 sustained wind speed of 157 miles per hour or higher. And so when they use the designation of catastrophic, it means high percentage of framed homes destroyed, total roof failure, wall collapse, trees, obviously already experiencing power outages on the island. And it goes from five being the worst down to category one. And then it's tropical, you know, then you have tropical storms.
Right.
And then tropical depression is either well before the storms intensify or after.
Which I believe it was a tropical storm just on Saturday. It escalated very quickly.
So we'll keep you posted on Hurricane Melissa. Driving the day's news, weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. So, Aaron, you're still a newlywed. How long does that last? When are you not a newlywed?
That's a fair question. I've actually asked myself that many times. So in December, it'll be 4 years.
Oh.
No? How long do you think?
No, you're not a newlywed then.
So when do you get out of the newlywed phase?
I don't know officially, but I'm going to guess.
Two, three?
No, one.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the truth. So yeah, I'm no longer a newlywed. There's no middle wed. I'm just married.
Hey, Siri, how long are you a newlywed? We'll see if she answers. She says, I don't understand.
What?
Come on, man.
I think after year one makes sense. Makes sense.
Well, there's a reason I ask. Did you get any china from your mother, grandmother?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yes. I got some of my grandmother's china from my mom and some of Vinny's grandmother's china from our mother-in-law.
Have you used any of it yet?
You know, we actually use, I don't even know, they're very nice plates that we use on a regular basis, which is kind of weird. We probably shouldn't.
It says, a new study has found that the average homeowner waits nearly 30 years before breaking out the good china.
Mm.
Some goes for a really nice fancy jewelry. As for dishes, two-thirds of us have never even touched the good china, and about half of us are still waiting for the right moment to use it.
Okay, so let me rephrase. I think what my mother-in-law gave us, they're just very nice
dishes.
Plates. Yes,
they
very nice.
Give you good china.
Yes. Now, the good china that we do have is absolutely in storage. It's not even pulled out or clean.
Well, you've got 26 years left, so you can...
Right, exactly. We've got a little while.
Isn't that interesting, though, that you wouldn't pull out the good china? Who would you bring it out for?
Right.
I mean, what is the moment?
Well, and not every... Like, do you have a china cabinet in your house? I think those are always so beautiful. We don't have one up. And typically, when people pull it out, that's where they're pulling it from. Like, let me pull out the nice china. They open the glass doors of the cabinet.
All right. What else is going on?
So you don't have one of those in your house.
A china closet?
Yeah.
Actually, we do. And I think there's china in there that we've never pulled out.
There you
officially.
Go.
So most people wait 30 years to bring out the good china. Hey, live it up. Do it tonight. Pull it out and order a pizza and use
the nice china.
Pizza on your china. It's been almost a year, but there's a guy in Canada who just turned $93, a $93 bet into $100,000. Last November, the guy's name is Max Wolfish, bet that the Eagles would win the Super Bowl and the Toronto Maple Leafs would win the Atlantic Division and the NHL, and the Blue Jays would make it to the World Series. After getting the first two right, he had to wait all summer and most of October, but the long shot paid off for a little over $100,000 on a parlay bet.
That's unbelievable. Very happy for that guy.
This is why people do that.
Right. They take a chance.
That. Right. It's like playing the lottery.
Right.
But by the way, you know they do the 50-50 now at sporting events. This is only in the last 4 or 5 years, I think, maybe a little longer, because
mm-hmm.
that was not allowed prior to that, to
right.
do a 50-50.
Anything with sports betting truly makes my mind swim, especially following, you know, this NBA, you know, arrests and things going on with those mob families. Like, why is that huge? But we're allowed to do 50, like, you know, I don't get it.
So to give you some idea, odds of winning the lottery are astronomical. We all know
right.
that, right?
Yes.
But think about it. If you do a 50-50 in a stadium, while your odds aren't great, they're much greater percentage-wise based on the fact that it's only people in the stadium who purchase tickets for the 50-50.
Okay.
Take a guess at what the 50-50 was worth when the Steelers played the Browns at Acrisure. Just take a wild guess.
100,000.
$190,000.
Does someone win every game?
Well, they win half of that, so about 100 grand. You
wow.
walk home with 100,000. And the game on Sunday night, almost as close, with 170 some thousand dollars in the 50-50.
That is unbelievable. And people that didn't know, now you know.
Nuts.
Throw your hat in the ring.
I mean, so I went to the Penguin game a week ago last Tuesday, and they have people standing out with the machines. You know, you just give them your credit card. They don't accept cash. You want $10 worth, $5, $20, and then it prints out of the little machine, you know, your bet sheet.
Right.
And then you keep looking up, and they keep saying what the 50-50 is worth, and it keeps adding up. But in the first period, it was only $5,500. I was like, oh.
No biggie.
What happened to the 190,000?
Wow.
Like at the Steelers game. Anyway, so that guy turned a $93 parlay bet into 100 grand plus. Bet responsibly.
Yeah, good for
him. So overall, it has been a fairly quiet hurricane season, which comes to an end, at least on the calendar, at the end of November. But dealing with a catastrophic Cat 5 storm right now named Melissa, and Jamaica right now is in the bullseye, and they're anticipating this is the worst storm in the history of record keeping there, with the potential for over 40 inches of rain, a slow moving storm with high winds. The question is what happens after the fact, after the storm. Joining us from Brothers Brother Foundation right here in Pittsburgh on our north side is the president, Ozzy Samad. Ozzy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, I want people to understand what Brothers Brother Foundation does, your mission, and the background that goes all the way back to Dr. Robert Hinkson, 1958, and why this is so important and critical in these moments.
Right, Larry. Brothers Brother works in four different areas, which is healthcare, infrastructure, disaster response, and education. And I think, you know, mostly when you hear us on whether it's the radio or media in general, it's in regard to, you know, disaster responses. So we've been working in that area, you know, since early 70s, I would say. And whether it be domestic or international, our goal is to immediately try to see what we can do to help.
And in this case, you know there's going to be a situation where there will be great need. How does Brothers Brother fit into the equation when it comes to relief and help?
So one of the first things that we do, Larry, is assess what the needs are on the ground. And this we do through our network of partners that we have both domestically and around the world. I mean, in this particular situation with Melissa, we are fortunate that we have been working with one of our main partners that's originally based in Jamaica. They're in southern Florida. And, you know, we reached out to them a few days ago, and we actually have 15 pallets of hygiene kit that should be leaving our warehouse today. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to get them there, but they're planning on flying them down and preparing to take them over as soon as, you know, they're able to do so. So that's about over 7,000 hygiene kits. And, you know, if you look at a hygiene kit, it's got simple things, toothbrush, toothpaste, bar soap, body wash, shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, hand sanitizer, feminine hygiene products, you know, wipes. So simple things that one, when you're in a situation like this and, you know, you're oftentimes out of house and home, you just need the basics. So that's our initial response. Now, what we're going to do is also take a look and see what else we can do. So examples of other things, you know, after a storm, I mean, initial things like wheelchairs, walkers. And Larry, I want to add, all these items have been donated by your listeners. So the hygiene kits that I'm talking about, we have individuals that come over here to our warehouse on the north side, and, you know, they'll put them together. We have corporate volunteers who've been coming over. So, you know, we really couldn't do it without the assistance of your listeners, and my hat's off to everybody for, you know, having the spirit to do this over and over.
We're with Ozzy Samad, President, Brothers Brother Foundation. And Ozzy, after meeting you personally and your team of dedicated, passionate people, this is a very unique organization, one the region should be proud to support, and I know they do. I also want people to know about the history that Dr. Hinkson was somebody who developed several medical devices crucial in alleviating pain and distributing vaccinations and inoculations that have literally saved millions of lives over the years. He developed the needleless jet injector or peace gun that increased the capability to help people over the years. And that all emanated from right here in Pittsburgh.
Indeed, Larry. Actually, it's an amazing story. And there's a book about it called Operation Brothers Brother. It was written in 1968. I mean, you know, when Dr. Hinkson went out starting in 58, went around the world inoculating and vaccinating people against polio and so on, it was just absolutely unbelievable, the spirit of the man. And then his son, you know, took over and ran in Brothers Brother for almost 40 years. And I'm fortunate to be able to, you know, try to walk in those shoes. So our main work, you know, around the world, as you were mentioning, is really sending medical supplies and pharmaceuticals all over the world. So, excuse me, to give you an idea, last year we sent 280 million doses of medicines to developing countries. And, you know, in addition to that, you know, altogether it was about 109 containers of medical supplies and medicines. And then domestically, you know, wherever there's a disaster or other needs, quite honestly, locally, we've been providing mobile clinics. We just provided an audiology mobile clinic to the Eye and Ear Foundation that's going out with the vision and diabetes screening mobile clinic in our own underserved communities. And we're talking to other organizations within the city of Pittsburgh for a primary care van. We provided another one to AGH, or AHN, I should say. So, you know, our focus really is on people's well-being, especially in the underserved communities, whether it be here in our own backyard or, you know, somewhere across the world.
Well, we appreciate the work you do. Brothers Brother has been just such an unbelievable part of Pittsburgh for a long time. So, Ozzy, I know people want to help. What's the best way to get to you with some help?
So the best way, especially given the circumstance and the distances and so on, is for people to provide financial support. You can go to our website. We are going to add another drop-down for hurricane relief, but at the moment, if they do go to our website under the donate box, if they go to international projects, 100% of anything that they donate will go towards the response. So, and this is our commitment to any disaster response, that 100% of what your listeners donate to us will go directly to helping those in need.
Brothersbrother.org. Ozzie, good luck. We thank you and appreciate the work you do on our good name here in Western Pennsylvania. Thank you and your team.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for all your support to you and your listeners.
Good morning. I'm David Balarado.
Saw a bunch of people scrambling over there, and we were kind of watching that for a little bit, but saw him take it away. I wouldn't say it ruins the night. I mean, obviously, I hope he's okay.
A fan said to have life-threatening injuries after falling from the level 200 seating area at PPG Paints Arena last night.
Boy, there has been at each venue, the major venue, what, Saturday night, there was an issue with somebody working over at Acrisure. Right. And then, of course, earlier at PNC Park, that fan has recovered from his injuries, but just coincidental. There's no way to link it to something. Right. It's just extremely coincidental.
Sure. Hurricane Melissa is expected to make landfall in Jamaica this morning as a powerful Category 5 storm with maximum sustained winds of 175 miles per hour, and it could dump up to 30 inches of rain. Marnie Stewart is a tourist from the U.S. and is riding out her first hurricane ever at a resort in Montego Bay.
We just came to have a good time, and now we're kind of stuck here.
Yeah, once you're there, there's nothing you can do. They shut down the airport, so it's just hunker down and hope for the best.
And Pittsburgh turned out yesterday to mark the 7th anniversary of the Tree of Life massacre in Squirrel Hill.
Well, I think of those 11 families.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Who were directly, but the whole community was impacted. I remember that morning, David, I was driving to a Pitt football game. Yeah. And at the time, my son was coaching at Carnegie Mellon University, and that's not too far from Tree of Life. And he said, Dad, I don't know what's going on. He sent me a text.
Yeah.
And as a parent, he said, we're in lockdown because of apparently there's a shooter, and didn't know at the time where it was. And of course, the tragedy that ensued after of people that were just trying to enjoy a day of worship.
Yeah.
Still very raw for many people.
Yeah.
Good morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman David Balderado. The federal budget, the impasse, the shutdown continues day 28 there, and well over 100 days for the state of Pennsylvania without a budget. This is tough news for those getting SNAP benefits as one example, and the money runs out November 1st, Saturday. 2 million recipients in Pennsylvania will be without those benefits unless they can figure out a solution. And we are joined by Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa. I imagine, Senator, you're as frustrated as anybody. However, a lot of people are saying, can't the Republicans and Democrats at least find a way to get through this? So what's the status as of today?
Well, good morning, Larry. And thank you for having me. I think the status today is much better than it has been in the past. I think the tone has changed among Democrats and Republicans. Yesterday, we had a lengthy, you know, five-party meeting to try to advance some concepts and some spend numbers, so to speak, a budget number. And we're going to meet again today at 9:30. So I think that, you know, things are moving forward in that regard. Folks are talking in one room together. And I think that's a step in the right direction. And we're narrowing the issues and the differences between those issues.
Senator, share for us what the impact of the federal government shutdown is having on the process of trying to get a budget here in the state.
I would say the federal part is not really having an impact on our general appropriation work. It's a separate level of resources that we receive from state government that we're trying to dispense. And we combine that with what we anticipate at some point coming from the federal government. But I think what we're working on right now is a state spend, so to speak, and figuring out how we're going to go about doing that. I think the biggest impact that you touched upon, I think the most immediate impact is going to be related to the SNAP benefit program and what happens after November 1st. We're very much concerned about that. We intend to do an announcement later today that's going to talk about how we think at the state level we can take steps to work with the recipients and others who are dealing with food insecurity by addressing our food banks. As we know, not only are the food banks not getting the money from the federal government, they're not getting it from the state government. The shelves are getting bare, and they're going to get worse over the coming weeks. So we will be proposing that we use a portion of the state's rainy day fund to support a portion of and replenish our food banks and our Meals on Wheels program. We think that's an appropriate use of the rainy day fund for 2 million people, as you said, in Pennsylvania. It's raining. It'll be raining very severely, and they're going to be without food. And to me, we have a moral obligation to try to address that. And in my view, it's different than some of the other folks who are waiting for funding, like our school districts and the like and others. But this is individuals who rely upon this program to feed themselves, feed their families, and that's why it's imperative that we take steps to address it.
Yeah, there's nothing more basic than needing food as, you know, the most common thread for everybody, regardless of party affiliation. So what are the sticking points? Are they continue to be?
Continue to be a spend, what's referred to as a spend number. How much revenue are we going to take in, and how are we going to deploy it? There's a disagreement on that part. There's a disagreement on education spend. There's a slight disagreement on some other energy policy and whether transit continues to be in the mix. We're continuing to push transit, and we'll do so this week as well with a discharge petition on legislation that's passed the House five times. So we feel like there's those are some of the differences that we need to just close the gap and work through. Or if we're not able to reach agreement, we put them aside and we come back later in the fall and deal with those policy issues and just adopt the general appropriation bill and a fiscal code that will fund the Commonwealth programs and the Commonwealth agencies.
So we're with Senator Jay Costa. I'm sensing you have at least a little more positive outlook on maybe a deal being made or at least some short-term help?
I do, Larry. I think that, you know, conversations yesterday and again this morning and some senior staff folks working into the evening last night addressing some of the differences, I think, is a positive, moving in a positive direction.
You've been here before over the years. Obviously, the tensions are really high, but having it coincide with a federal government shutdown doesn't help.
It hasn't helped. I think what it has done, though, I think what the federal shutdown has done is created a greater level of effort to get things done. I think recognizing that not knowing how long the federal government impact is going to be and the impact on the programs, that we at the same time should not be injecting ourselves or continuing to have ourselves be a part of that conversation. So it's, to me, it's important that we remove ourselves from the impasse conversation and get our resources out to our counties and to our school districts and to our program providers and healthcare providers as soon as we can. But the federal impact has created a greater sense of urgency, quite frankly.
Appreciate the update, and hopefully we'll hear some good news soon. Senator, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Senator Jay Costa on the Big K Morning Show. And it is frustrating for a lot of people for all the obvious reasons. And I know that at the federal level, there's been some conversations between Senators Dave McCormick and John Fetterman about finding ways to support the SNAP benefits, too. Hopefully, something will get done. I mean, November 1st starts Saturday, and you don't want people to be without those benefits. This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Tuesday at this time, we welcome another medical professional brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. And today, we welcome M. Denise Leonard, D.O., which is a doctor of osteopathic medicine. Did I get that right, Doc?
Yes, you did.
Good job. Medical director of OBGYN services in Butler and Clarion. Appreciate your time this morning. Women's Health Month, obstetrics and gynecology, your expertise, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes.
First and foremost, by the way, you can see our doctor on our live stream at kdkradio.com and our YouTube page presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Appreciate the time. And when you thought about being on the air and speaking to a lot of people, what would be the most important messaging that you would want to get out? Because I'm sure on a daily basis, you probably think to yourself, oh, there's things I wish people knew that maybe we take for granted. What do you want us to know?
So I know this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. However, I did want to talk about postmenopausal bleeding. So this is a very common problem that women have as we get older, and it's can be a very serious problem. So I wanted to bring some attention to postmenopausal bleeding.
I'm sure when that subject comes up, a lot of women probably think, well, that part of my life is over. What's going on? It's probably very anxiety-filled for a lot of women.
Absolutely. So the definition of menopause is pretty simple, 1 year without any bleeding. That's simple. So any bleeding after 1 year is considered postmenopausal bleeding. And typically it's a benign process, but it could indicate cancer and it needs to be taken seriously. And patients should call their physician, their health care provider to have that worked up.
I'm curious because I assume if you're not experiencing anything out of the ordinary, a once-a-year checkup is recommended. And then I don't know what percentage of women actually do that, but maybe they're better at it than men overall.
Well, I think that is true, just saying. But anyway, yes, women should come in at once a year so that we can do a breast exam, talk about if they are having any bleeding. But if they do have bleeding, they should come in, and we typically get a sonogram. One of the things we look at is to check for what's called the endometrial lining thickness. That's the tough tissue that will bleed or slough off that patients will indicate that they're bleeding. And typically if the lining is thin, like less than 4 millimeters, we say, oh, you're fine. But if it's thick, greater than 4 millimeters, then it needs to be evaluated. So it's simple to get an ultrasound first if you have bleeding, very simple to work up. But if it's more than 4 millimeters, then need to have some type of biopsy of that endometrium or uterine lining So that can be done in the office or it can be done in the hospital under sedation.
And after that takes place, typically how long does it take to get a reading and the results?
Typically they're back within a few days. Sometimes it takes a week. Frankly, it depends on the pathologist, how busy they are. So that's kind of our rate limiting step on that. So we get the pathology back. Certainly if it's unfortunately cancer, then they do need a hysterectomy, and those patients will get referred to a GYN oncologist, which is a obstetrician gynecologist that did extra training in, gynecologic cancers. So they may need a hysterectomy. If it's in an early stage, very easily treated with just surgery. So that's why it's important for women to report any bleeding. And by bleeding, that can be pink, bright red, flooding, brownish discharge. So any evidence of any bleeding should be reported, because if it is cancer, it's very easily treated early. There's a lot of non-cancerous reasons that require no other treatment other than maybe a DNC. They might have a polyp that can be removed or can be put on some other medication to treat any precancerous or pre-precancer pathology.
What advancements have been made in medicine that will help in the process once a diagnosis is made?
Well, hysterectomies are done, can still be done the old-fashioned way abdominally, but a lot of the hysterectomies are done laparoscopically or robotically, which has made it much easier for patients. Unfortunately, a lot of a risk factor for endometrial cancer is being overweight, so this is where the robot comes in very handy to do surgical procedures on women who are very overweight, and makes it easier to have that procedure completed.
And what advice would you give to women who understandably feel very anxious about seeking help for this issue?
Well, you should just call your doctor. We're anxious about a lot of things in life, and sometimes you just have to pick up the phone and you need to make that call and get it worked up. And again, the majority of the time, this is not cancer. It's a very easily treated with medication, or any bleeding that's not cancerous can be treated medically. So it's very important. Any bleeding should be reported, get worked up, get your anxiety out of the way, and move forward.
One additional question, and that's about the tendency in this day and age to even use AI at home or the internet to self-diagnose. How often do you hear, well, ChatGPT told me, or the internet said? Is that common?
Oh, yes, it is. It's definitely a double-edged sword. Some patients come in very well educated with what they have read on the internet. If they go to a reputable site, and you can access a lot of stuff, the NIH and the CDC, it's the patients that come in that got their information from the TikTok influencer that's kind of frustrating.
Understood and appreciated. And thank you and your team for all the great work you do, Doctor.
All right. Thank you so much, Larry. Have a great day.
We appreciate you. M. Denise Leonard, who is the medical director, OBGYN services in Butler and Clarion, part of Independence Health System, expert care here. And we thank Independence Health System for bringing these stories to light. To State Senator Jay Costa, hoping for some news that would help families who are stressing out about benefits, SNAP benefits in particular, that would end on Friday. So November 1st is Saturday, and many organizations are trying to figure out ways to help. Backpacks for Hunger. The president is Lisa Bowden. Lisa, welcome to KDKA.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So obviously you're trying to fill the gap. So what's the game plan?
Well, we're reaching out to every food resource that we can find in the area. We're letting local families know what those are. We're reaching out to the schools to try and make sure that we can send food home with the students there. That's what my organization does. We give food to children when they are not in school and facing the most severe food insecurity. And we're making sure that we can reach as many people as we can, because a lot of these people that are going to lose their SNAP benefits
also don't have transportation. So we're trying to just find ways to reach these families the best that we can.
Give us some sense of how these backpack programs impact students currently.
Well, even in the best of times, we find that when children are not in school, they do maybe sometimes go home to empty refrigerators and empty cupboards. So we try and anonymously and confidentially reach those families through the schools, and we send food home with them on the weekends or in the evenings or whenever they might need it. We're an all-volunteer organization, my organization is, and we pack about 15 items of food in a just a plain plastic bag, so no child is embarrassed that they're getting food and nobody else knows what's in the food that they're or in the bags that they're taking home, and they can take the food home and fill those gaps in where maybe there's not food in the homes when they're not in school.
And I'm sure there are a lot of moms and dads listening that are thinking, okay, well, how do we connect and with your organization and take advantage of an opportunity?
Absolutely. We want people to be able to do that and reach out to your teachers, to your guidance counselors, and tell them that you'd like to sign up for a program like this so that you can at least get some food for the children that are going to lose those benefits. And they can hook you up. And then, as I said, even if you're lacking transportation and you're lacking food, this will send food home with you.
This has a lot of families very upset. And one of the most basic things, obviously, is to be able to feed your family, especially when it comes to the kids. So we're hoping that some positive news comes out in the next day or two. But in the meantime, these kind of programs are absolutely critical.
They are. And even before people were losing their SNAP benefits, food prices are so high right now that I think almost everyone is impacted and stressed about the situation of just trying to feed their families. So even before this latest crisis with the government shutdown, I think a lot of families are just struggling right now. So it's a tough time for everyone.
Well, again, how can people reach out to your organization?
They can reach out to us at backpackforhunger.org, or also reach out to your local food banks and try to support them if you can with food donations or monetary donations, or the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, and that'll trickle down to local food banks as well.
Appreciate your efforts and your passion for what you're doing. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks so much.
All right, that is backpacksforhunger.org. Lisa Bowden is the president of the organization and trying to help. And Aaron, obviously there's nothing more basic than being able to feed your family. So I hope the politicians find a way at both the federal and state level to get something done.
Yeah, you can't imagine the atmosphere or the tension in the room. I'm sure you could cut it with a knife, but with people, their livelihood on the line.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And them being able to eat and have transportation. I mean, it's important. So.
We should not be in a situation where politics is keeping people from eating.
Right.
And feeding your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so each side's blaming the other, both at the state and the federal level. But the citizens, and you're elected to represent everybody, not just your own party.
Right.
Need to find a way to get something done. And I hope they're hearing these kind of messages and what people are doing and the anxiety that they're creating will come to an end.
Good morning, I'm David Balerato at PPG Paints Arena.
Saw a bunch of people scrambling over there, and we were kind of watching that for a little bit, but saw him take it away. I wouldn't say it ruins the night. I mean, obviously, I hope he's okay.
That fan said to have life-threatening injuries after falling from the concourse level at last night's hockey game.
Yeah, coincidentally, an incident Saturday night at AccraSure with a worker there, and then earlier in the year at PNC Park, but that young man apparently has recovered from his injuries.
Hurricane Melissa is expected to make landfall in Jamaica today as a powerful Category 5 storm with maximum sustained winds of 175 miles per hour, dumping up to 30 inches of rain. Marnie Stewart is a tourist from the U.S. who is riding out her first hurricane at a resort in Montego Bay.
We just came to have a good time, and now we're kind of stuck here.
Yeah, the concern is this storm, there's nowhere to go.
Right, and the prime minister is saying that there's no infrastructure there that can withstand the speed of winds. And Pittsburgh turns out to mark the 7th anniversary of the Tree of Life massacre.
Every year when this comes up, it kind of rips open the Band-Aid for a lot of people in this region who thought in many cases something like this couldn't happen here.
Yeah.
And so we think about the families directly affected, but the city collectively has suffered tremendously. So as time goes on, the healing process hopefully continues. Good morning, Larry Richard with our team. Getting ready to work you through the morning issues. Traffic seems to be a problem. Weather, while cold, pretty nice, crystal clear, as I mentioned. And I always am interested in what's coming next in this town. You've heard so much about the draft. You don't have to be a football fan to appreciate a lot of eyes and opportunities exist. There are multiple people involved, stakeholders in the region, to try to red up, as we say in Pittsburgh, but also curious about the future with the energy business, artificial intelligence, robotics. There is real job growth and hope for the region, so we should be on a trajectory that's going up. And joining us is Herky Pollack, who is well-known commercial real estate. What should I call you? Commercial real estate mogul, Herc?
Oh, gosh. too early in the morning for that, Larry. Too early in the morning for that.
Well, that said, you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in and around town. And I know that the draft is attracting a lot of people to, you know, take a step. But overall, share with some of what's coming in the future or near future here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think Pittsburgh is using the draft much like you would use your own home. If you have people coming to visit you, you rent up your house. And that's what's going on all around the region. There's so much development going on, so much cleaning up going on, because we're going to have the world looking at us come April for the draft. And so there literally is development going on. I was thinking about it all over Pittsburgh, from Monroeville to Station Square to the North Shore to the Strip District to East Side and Bakery Square. It's really astounding that we have so much development going on at a time when other regions around the country are struggling. So Pittsburgh's really finding its own.
What are some of the highlights? Because that said, so many people are doing maybe atypical, and there are many projects underway, but what are some of the highlights from your standpoint?
Yeah, great. So you and I have talked about before, there's $600 million of new development coming downtown that's been announced already. There's another $400 to $500 million coming behind that downtown, but the things that have not yet been announced, but you can see through the applications to the state for RCAP grants, there's a lot more development coming behind that. WS out of Boston is in the process of buying Station Square and redeveloping that. My friends at Walnut Capital are looking at doing some things with their additional property adjacent to Bakery Square with residential and retail. Monroeville Mall obviously is being redeveloped by Walmart. There's development going on in Cranberry anchored by Meijer. So there's so much new stuff that's going on. Obviously, the Strip District is booming with residential development and some office development, but mostly residential. And then on top of that, we have a grocery war going on in Pittsburgh with 3 to 4 new grocers coming to town, which is going to stimulate lots of new development as well, with Meijer and Wegmans both having announced coming to Cranberry, and Sprouts and Aldi and Fresh Market all looking to grow their footprint here in Pittsburgh. So really, I mean, when you look around what's going on in Pittsburgh for a region that really doesn't have a lot of growth residentially, we're seeing a ton of new development to support all the people who currently live here.
One of the, I guess it's ground zero for those grocery wars, is Cranberry Township. You have recently, in the last year and a half, had Giant Eagle relocate their headquarters there. They have 2 grocery stores in proximity, very close to each other. And you mentioned the others, Fresh Time and Aldi, Shop and Save, Walmart, Costco, Wegmans, Meijer. So, yep. I mean, that part, I don't know how they'll all sustain, but I guess the beneficiaries should be people with pricing.
Absolutely. I mean, it just gives variety in pricing, and it stimulates growth with new developments. They're going to all want to have new stores opening up in Pittsburgh, which is, I mean, they're all looking around the region now for additional growth beyond their current announcements. So it really is a great time for Pittsburgh in that regard. And for many, many years, I grew up here, and we had Kroger, and Kroger left early on and back in the 70s or 80s of last century. And now we're seeing 4 or 5 really formidable new grocers coming into the marketplace. That's going to really change the trajectory of Pittsburgh going forward.
Remember A&P? Thoroughfare?
I do. Yeah, I'm not young enough to not remember that. Yes, I am.
Yeah, you can pretend like you don't know, but I know you know.
I know.
That said, the other component is we keep hearing about the challenges for leasing downtown for the business community and turning some of that space into affordable living. How's that process going?
Yeah, that's the good news, bad news is. So the only quasi-challenging component of Pittsburgh's real estate right now is office leasing in downtown. And even that has had some uptick in the last 2 quarters. So we're seeing some bright spots there. But what we're doing is we're transforming downtown away from a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 office area to that of a mixed-use development with a lot of residential coming online, both affordable and market-rate housing and retail. And there's new restaurants coming. There's new mixed-use developments coming. And on top of that, there's going to be a lot more residential coming and 3 new parks. So Market Square and the 8th and 9th Street Arts Landing and Point State Park are all getting redeveloped. That's going to transform downtown into a neighborhood, which we've never seen before, with people walking around, walking dogs and pushing strollers and really taking advantage of our beauty downtown. And we can't forget also, Larry, that Pittsburgh, unlike any other city in America, was just announced as one of the 25 best cities in the world for tourism and to come visit. So we're seeing an influx of new people coming to Pittsburgh who are visiting Pittsburgh, and that is going to have a much different, robust outcome on our downtown for people who want to come here and shop and eat and dine and use our hotels and even our convention center. So there's a lot of bright spots that's going to really transform downtown. And so the traditional thinking of downtown as an office park is very, very different than what we're going to see going forward.
It's not unlike how we now have to rethink the mall concept. In many cases, some are thriving, like Ross Park Mall, because they have unique businesses, but a lot of other malls have gone to the wayside, as you've seen. Are new malls dead?
New malls. Well, you won't see any regional malls being built anytime soon, but there certainly is a flight to quality. So for malls like Ross Park and South Hills Village, they'll be just fine. The ones like Century 3, which obviously went away, Monrovia Mall, which went away, and other malls like Pittsburgh Mills and Uniontown and malls like that, they don't have a great future ahead of them. But I do see that as opportunity, again, because if you look at Century 3, for example, there's hundreds of acres of developable land now that can replace what was once a huge mall, the biggest mall in the region, and now could become, again, mixed-use development for many, many decades to come.
And an influx, hopefully, of people. We're going to need workers to build out all these infrastructure in the energy business. So, and I saw mortgage rates were down considerably for the first time in a while. So overall, very optimistic, trending up, would you say?
I would say absolutely trending up. And Governor Shapiro has just announced that we're one of the bright spots in the country, certainly in the Northeast and the Midwest, for Pennsylvania having growth and new business opportunities. I mean, we literally are the shining star of the Northeast as far as that goes. And he's done a phenomenal job with his team of growing our region. We haven't even touched on the AI initiatives that are coming forth in Pittsburgh, which we're going to see huge development as a result of that. So with companies coming in with the oil and gas and energy and AI, I think we are extremely well positioned in the future to have our region grow. And everyone seems to be rowing in the same direction to make that happen, from the state, the county, to the city. And Sarah Inamorato, county executive, just did a phenomenal job of landing 550 affordable housing units for those in need. And we have a new mayor with Corey O'Connor coming in the first of the year. So I'm hugely optimistic as to where we're going as a region. Obviously, we have to solve for the office issues that we face downtown, but I'm not overly concerned about that. But going forward, I would bet big on Pittsburgh. Absolutely.
Herky Pollack, always appreciate your input and time. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good one. Take care. Talk soon.
Commercial real estate mogul, Aaron. I think he likes mogul. That's a good...
Mogul has a nice ring to it.
He's just been around a long time. He's done everything you can imagine in that world. D, high 50s. Our Tamara Rush in studio.
Hi, Larry. Welcome back.
What's trending?
I don't want to say the word.
Amazon.
14,000 corporate jobs?
14,000
corporate jobs. AI is destroying families.
Are they blaming AI for this?
I mean, some people are saying, you know, they're making, you know, trends to corporations and companies and businesses are moving a lot of jobs to AI. So, you just wonder if that's going to happen.
So what I heard was they had, during COVID, because people wouldn't go out and shop, they kind of built
ramped up.
They ramped way up.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's catching up to them to some degree.
So that's what the corporate people would say, right? I mean,
well, how is AI replacing 14,000
everything is changing though, Larry, right? Like they can have AI actually putting in, placing orders and setting up, because they have warehouses where they can have specific AI productions to push out, you know, your items in some way, shape, or form. You know, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know that if that is the case, but I mean, people shop on Amazon. I mean, people don't even go to malls anymore. There are no more malls that people, you know, say, hey, you talk to people now. It's like, hey, I need a dress. I'm on Amazon. Hey, I need shoes for a wedding. I'm on Amazon. I'm ordering them.
What's that one site? I know we talk about it.
Shein?
Yeah, Shein.
I mean, people really are just, well, you know, they order online. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. 14 Temu, that's another.
Another one?
Yeah, another.
But that's like, coming from China.
China. Coming from China. But no, I mean, this is huge. 14,000 people. So what happens when the 14,000 people are gone? I mean, now if you notice, and I know this just because I am an avid Amazon shopper, as well as my kids, it's taking longer, even if you're a Prime member, to get your items from Amazon than normal.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, what I should have invested in 5 years ago was cardboard boxes. Think about it. All the stuff that's shipped now.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
That's all new cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And where do they go? Usually just
in the trash.
Yeah, I mean,
break
that
them
seems
up.
Like such a waste.
Yeah, it is. Unless you keep them like I do.
Aaron, I'm curious, since you are a touch younger than T and I, if you notice how I handled that
you're
very
so nice.
Yes. Do you shop on Amazon?
Absolutely.
Do you ever go to the malls or big box stores to shop?
No. So I found something out. My sister lives in Columbus, and I found out they're a trial state. I'm not using the right word, but new stores go there to see if they'll thrive, and then they go other places. So if you live in Columbus, you can go to the mall for absolutely anything.
Yeah, there's a cool area of Columbus.
And yes.
Yeah, my daughter lived at Polaris.
Yeah,
my daughter lived.
There you go.
That's
Polaris.
Where my daughter lived. Polaris.
Is it not? I feel like I'm in the future when I go there.
Yeah, it's very up. It's very up to date, mm-hmm. and it's. I mean, it's
they also,
diverse.
They test restaurants
tester
there
state.
Too.
Tester, yes,
yes. Mm-hmm. That's what she's referring to.
You go
to,
there, it's state. Like futuristic.
But I mean, people don't shop at malls anymore.
No,
you don't go to Century 3 Mall anymore.
Century 3.
You see Monroeville Mall.
Monroeville?
They're on the verge of being edged. Yeah. So I mean, what happens next? I mean, if you're cutting 14,000 jobs and the malls are going away. How are you going to be able to make sure that the people who are purchasing your products are getting the items that they're hoping that they're going to get in a day or two? I mean, if you cut 14,000, then you know something is going to happen regarding the delivery.
Well, once they snag you, they're just going to be like, they can wait another day or two.
Oh, I'm not waiting.
But where are you going?
I'm just not going to get it.
Shein.
No, Shein
takes
forever.
Do I
look
like address?
I don't know what Shein is. I've never been on that site.
No, you don't.
Very cheap website where people go. People can't afford, you know, expensive things. And, you know, so people go to Shein and Temu to get things. And, they, you know, it's a shirt you order. You might be a triple X or a double XL. When it gets to your house, it might be extra small. That kind of
that's the
shopping.
I got you. All right. Well,
I mean, I don't know.
14,000 jobs.
I'm worried. I order religiously something from Amazon every week.
Every week.
Come every on. Week.
It's more than once
no,
a week.
I'm serious. Come it's on. Just every. It's every week.
Every week.
Every week, I order something. No
every
matter
day.
How big it's, it could be small. It could be any. It doesn't have to. I'm not talking about TVs and things like that. But I order big items as well. But I do. I'm like,
we'll
what's
see
that,
where this leads. Whether you're waiting a week for your stuff.
If I do, I'm angry.
All right. Don't get angry. Thank you, T.
Bye, Larry.
Trending with Tamira. This is the Big K Morning Show, and the big story is Melissa, a Category 5 hurricane pounding Jamaica. And joining us from the National Weather Service, meteorologist Matt Broody. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. I understand this is the most powerful storm ever to hit Jamaica. So give us some sense of what the anticipation is in terms of potential damage there.
Yeah, so the last one to impact Jamaica directly was Hurricane Gilbert back in 88. That was a Category 3 when it did so. So like you said, this is a Cat 5 right now, a very strong one at that. The 8 a.m. update from the National Hurricane Center had maximum sustained winds of 175 miles per hour, and it's currently about 50 miles south-southeast of Negril, Jamaica, which is just on the far west coast of the island. So through the day today, the next 6 to 12 hours, it is going to make landfall across the western half of Jamaica and bring, unfortunately, likely catastrophic damage to the island. So, you know, thoughts are with everybody on the island down there, and hopefully they can get out or make the preparations they need to make it through this one.
Amen. And that said, what happens next is the path anticipated, as I see, to stay off the coast, but it could affect the coastline in some way along the you know, lower 48.
Yeah, it's going to move through Jamaica, obviously, today, and then through the Haiti, Dominican Republic, and then eastern Cuba and the Bahamas over the next couple of days. So we'll have it through the Bahamas, hopefully by latest timing has like early Thursday morning, and then well off the East Coast, safely off the East Coast, but likely impacting Bermuda by Friday. And parts of the eastern seaboard could see some maybe increased swell, maybe some rip current issues headed through the latter half of the week, but no direct impacts to land.
Fingers crossed, this overall for the people that have had a lot of hurricane damage in, you know, the southeast, it has been a relatively quiet for Florida and the Carolinas overall.
It has, yeah. We've been lucky. You know, conditions looked pretty favorable for tropical cyclone development this year. So far, we've gotten off, you know, relatively okay for the continental U.S. Obviously, you know, not going to be the case for the Caribbean here in the next couple of days. But yeah, as far as the homeland goes, we've been spared so far this year, and we're, you know, getting towards the latter half of the hurricane season here. Well, far into the latter half of the hurricane season here. So hopefully, we'll be able to wrap things up without, you know, too many impacts locally.
Yeah, and on the calendar, it ends November 30th, so we're a month away and change. But, you know, the storms don't necessarily follow the calendar, but hopefully the rest of the mainland will remain hurricane-free. But in this case, it's a very, very big deal. Matt, appreciate the update. Thank you.
Not a problem.
From the National Weather Service, Matt Broody, meteorologist, on the update on the Category 5 Hurricane Melissa. Meanwhile, we're in Day 28 of the government shutdown. And what happens next? From CBS, Caitlin Huey Burns.
The turbulence of the government shutdown is getting worse. Many air traffic controllers will miss their first full paycheck, and flight disruptions are rising. More than 8,800 flights were delayed nationwide. Landing in Washington, D.C., World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres' food charity, often deployed to war zones and natural disasters, it provided free meals for furloughed federal employees. But one free meal won't help the more than 40 million Americans, one in eight, who rely on federal food assistance. The USDA declared that the well has run dry. At this time, there will be no benefits issued November 1st. Erin Annis never thought she'd need SNAP benefits, but three bouts of cancer and a double knee replacement left her unable to work.
Having those resources, what does it mean for your life?
Everything. It means everything to me.
What exactly do you think you're going to need to do?
I'll have to ask my children to help me.
And what is...
That's an awful feeling.
How so?
For them to have to help me.
Even in...
It's a little tough to think about sometimes.
She'll also turn to her local food pantry. Shyla Ulrich is CEO of the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank and said she expects demand to increase.
People are scared. It's a moment where people don't know and understand what's about to happen, whether or not they'll get those benefits, should the government open back up or when.
Anna says she just wants lawmakers to talk to each other and find a solution.
This should not be a political issue. This should be a human privilege to be fed.
The USDA says it will not tap into a contingency fund to pay for SNAP benefits because they say that's reserved for things like natural disasters. Now, there is a Republican proposal in the Senate to pay for the program, but it's unclear whether or when that would get a vote. Caitlin Huey Burns, CBS News, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I think it's safe to say that this is an extreme disappointment, regardless of party affiliation. If you can't feed your citizens, and you're arguing and just pointing fingers back and forth across the aisle. That is a failure of government to the greatest magnitude.
David Balorado.
Saw a bunch of people scrambling over there, and we're kind of watching that for a little bit, but saw him take it away. I wouldn't say it ruins the night. I mean, obviously, I hope he's okay.
A fan said to have life-threatening injuries after falling last night at PPG Paints Arena.
Yeah, and this is a coincidental second incident this weekend. On Saturday night, a worker at Acrisure fell and is in a similar condition, I hear. And then you remember at PNC Park, David, that fan that came out of the... now, he has recovered, but I understand there's some lingering issues in his situation.
Hurricane Melissa is expected to make landfall in Jamaica today as a powerful Category 5 storm. Marnie Stewart is a tourist from the U.S. and riding out her first hurricane at a resort in Montego Bay.
We just came to have a good time, and now we're kind of stuck here.
And we just talked to meteorologist Matt Brundy from National Weather Service. This is the most powerful storm that's ever hit the island of Jamaica.
And Pittsburgh turns out to mark the 7th anniversary of the Tree of Life massacre in Squirrel Hill.
Just hard to watch. You know, everybody has their own story about that day, but particularly, obviously, the family members,
sure,
of which one we know.
Right.
One of our team members' uncle was one of those 11. I just think about them, and, you know, a lot of healing still going on. Thank you, David.
Sure.
Wall Street started the week continuing its record climb with hopes of a U.S.-China trade deal and a Fed rate cut. The Dow added 337 points. The NASDAQ grew 432. S&P pulled 83 points. Amazon is set to start sweeping job cuts today, according to Reuters. The layoffs could amount to 30,000 staffers, or nearly 10% of the corporate workforce, which would be the largest round of layoffs in the company's history. Amazon has been slashing staff since the COVID pandemic in an effort to cut costs. It's not yet Halloween, but Walmart is thinking ahead to the holidays, announcing its Black Friday sales. Customers can enjoy three batches of bargains with savings up to 60% off on toys, tech, and home decor. The sales start a week in advance with access online for Walmart Plus members as early as November 13th and run through Cyber Monday. And the so-called Hot Santa has returned to Target to help you make your list and check it twice. For the second year, the holiday campaign has team member Chris K sharing gift suggestions for everyone, naughty or nice. Target says you can expect more fun and more magic from Hot Santa throughout the season. That's your CBS Money Watch report for this Tuesday morning. I'm Jesse Mitchell, CBS News, New York.
This is the Big K Morning Show. When I got up this morning at 3 o'clock, how about Game 3 of the World Series still going on, just wrapping up?
In Los Angeles, Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the count strikes me.
Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the 18th inning, Aaron. The longest World Series game, 6 hours, 39 minutes, and they got to play game four tonight. So the Dodgers lead 2-1, and that was in L.A. So the game didn't start till late here in Eastern. I would imagine not many people here stayed up late to watch it.
So I have an interesting question. Regardless of the weather outside, I imagine how much they sweat playing for 6 hours was probably insane. How, I mean, they probably had to really hydrate in order to prepare for tonight's game. I say that because when I went to a concert toward the end of the summer, and I think I told you we were racing back to our car.
Who was that, Neil Young?
Yes, we were running back to our car. It was very, very hot, very humid. I probably sweat more than I ever have in my life. And the next day, I was so incredibly dehydrated, more than I thought, where I honestly felt like I could pass out at any given moment and had to infiltrate my body with electrolytes. Like, I was really struggling. So I'm thinking about these players after 6 hours
and 39 minutes.
I mean, imagine they've
two complete baseball games in one night at the highest level.
Probably an IV to the veins.
And they got to play tonight.
Oh yeah.
That's the way it goes. I don't know how many people. I'd be curious. Are you following the World Series? Who knows? I don't know that I've committed to sit down and watch any portion of the game, but
especially for 6 hours and 39 minutes.
But when you get up and they're still playing, you're like, what's going on?
I mean, they probably players that don't normally get time, right? They got some time in probably during those 6 hours.
Curious today, Coach Mike Tomlin addresses the media. They host Indianapolis Colts Sunday at 1, and they're a really good team. So after Sunday night's second half, I'll be curious to hear what Coach has to say and the questions he gets, because it wasn't very pretty Sunday after the game. Did you watch any of it?
No, I was a good girl, went to sleep.
What?
I did the right thing. I went to sleep. But hearing, you know, when I asked any guys in my life, well, what went wrong? And, you know, it will be interesting to hear what Coach Tomlin says, especially with his Tomlin-isms, because, I mean, what was your breakdown of what specifically went wrong the second half?
Well, I was very impressed that you go into halftime, you're leading by 9 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, this is good. But you had a feeling the Steelers got the ball first in the second half, and then there was a series of incidents that cost the Steelers greatly. They didn't call an offsides. The referee there with his group gathered, and it was obvious to anybody. There wasn't even a question.
Interesting.
Green Bay was offsides on a 3rd and 8, so it should have been 3rd and 3. Aaron threw the ball thinking he's got a free play. Should have completed it. Wasn't his fault. The receiver dropped it. Would have been a first down. But then, so they have to punt it away, right? And then there was a controversial push-off of this Tucker Kraft, the big tight end that was running around scot-free, it looked like at times. They should have called the push-off because they called DK Metcalf of the Steelers earlier for the same thing, a lesser of a push. And then they end up scoring. And now, you know, they're right back in it. And then they just kept scoring.
Right. We got scored on 3 times, right?
We had no answer. I say we. You know.
I mean, hey, as a city. So it sounds like it was a mix-up of faulty plays, but then the refs.
Yeah. It's always fun to blame the officials.
Yeah.
But I don't think they did now they have this assist, you know, replay assist where they change some plays in the middle of the game, which is so it's so foreign to what's going on. However, Steelers need to win on Sunday, and that's a very, very good team that's coming to town. So we'll hear what Coach Tomlin has to say today. And coming up, we'll hear what Lynn Hayes Freeland has to say next on the Big K Morning Show. Listen for the Drive at 5. Top stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. And every Tuesday at this time, we check in with our colleague Lynn Hayes Freeland, live from Atlanta, Georgia. You can see Lynn on our live stream at kdkradio.com. Watch us every day or join our KDK Radio YouTube page presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. You say live from Atlanta, but I just want to mention I just got back from Pittsburgh. I was there for 5 days on some special project things that I'm involved in. But I got to tell you, Saturday night, I was downtown. There was a big hockey game. There were several events going on in Pittsburgh. Downtown was amazing to me. There was action, there was activity, places were packed. It left me with a really good feeling about the future. I mean, so often all you hear about downtown Pittsburgh is bad stuff, is negative stuff. And I got a really good feeling on Saturday night. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they had the Hall of Fame Pittsburgh Penguin game. There were a lot of people in town for Steelers Packers Sunday night. A lot of Packers
Correct.
Fans walking around town, too. And yeah. I'm sure the Cultural District, I know they had a bunch of shows, so it was juiced downtown.
It really was. I mean, it kind of gave you, I don't want to say a sense of what Pittsburgh used to be like, And I understand those days, those nights don't happen all the time. But it left me with a feeling of hopefulness because, again, you know, so often all you hear is the negative. And I don't think what's happening in Pittsburgh is any different than what's happening across the country in terms of downtown areas. I do, however, worry about what the impact of people losing their SNAP benefits, medical benefits, you know, that has a domino effect on all of us. We kind of tend to look at that, well, it doesn't affect me because I don't have SNAP benefits. Here's the bottom line. If people can't get help with getting food, they're going to get their food one way or the other. I don't say that as a threatening statement. It's just a reality.
Well, there's 2 million people in Pennsylvania who are directly affected by SNAP alone. You mentioned healthcare benefits. And that's what one party says is the sticking point to the other. They point fingers across the aisle. But the bottom line is when you're citizens, when you're elected to an office, you're elected to represent all of the people. And I understand the reality of party affiliations, but the name calling back and forth and the blame game isn't helping people who really need it. And it would be tragic if they don't find an end to both the government shutdown at the federal level and this impasse in the budget here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely. I listened to Jason Lando's comments and the piece that Paul Alexander did on the 7th anniversary of Tree of Life. And one of the things he said was everyone came together. And it started, I started reflecting on that time period. And he's absolutely right. Everyone came together. It didn't matter what race you were, what religion you were, where you lived. The country came together around Pittsburgh and that synagogue, and we've lost that feeling.
I had that morning a feeling just for a fleeting moment. I got a text from my son, who at that point was coaching at Carnegie Mellon University, and they had a home game. So he was in town. Okay. And if you know the proximity to Tree of Life, Carnegie Mellon isn't that far. We didn't know in the moment. But I got a text from him on my way in saying, Dad, we're in lockdown. There's an apparent shooter. And not knowing, as a parent, when you hear that, and in the moment you don't know, and then the reality of what transpired. And I think of those families a lot. And yesterday it came into focus. 7 years have gone by, but the emotions are still raw.
Yeah, you know, I like you. I mean, as soon as I realized it was the 7th anniversary, the events of that day went through my head, start to finish. I mean, this is a crazy kind of story, but I was literally at the hair salon that morning getting my hair dyed when Kathy Nascasi, who's now the news director, called me and said, I need you to get in right now. And I'm like, Kath, I can't. I mean, I had wet dye on my hair. And she's like, no, I need you, and I need you now. And I said, Kath, I got color in my hair. She's like, I don't care. Get in here. And that was when the urgency, I didn't know why she was telling me that. And so as I was getting the color rinsed out of my hair, I started hearing the reports. And I think it's one of those things that you will forever remember where you were when you heard that moment, like the JFK assassination. You know, I think you just remember where you were. Boy, I dated myself, huh, with the JFK assassination.
I don't remember what you're talking about. Meanwhile, you're right. It had a direct impact on a lot of people in this community. Obviously, one of the things is the safest place you could imagine would be in your place of worship, in the process of praying, in that peace, in that moment. And then that horrifying incident takes place. It shakes the core of everyone's comfort level because we now know here in this city, and it's happened at other places too, LA Fitness here in the region and many other fast food restaurant, wherever, shopping malls, grocery store, there is no place that is 100% safe. It's just the reality. It's not to scare people. That's the fact.
That's just the reality, indeed. Now, on a lighter note, maybe this isn't even a lighter note. Let's talk about Amazon for a minute. Let's talk about these layoffs at Amazon. I have a facility, a warehouse, probably less than a half mile from my house. I have enjoyed the luxury of getting same day delivery since I moved here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And see, now I think, in fact, my friends, my family always say, hey, I'm going to have my Amazon package sent to your house because they're telling me it's going to be 2 days to get to my house. And I have a feeling that's all going to change, too. I think this idea of ordering in the morning and getting it in the afternoon, I think we have to get out of that comfort zone.
Well, they lured everybody in, and from a business standpoint, genius, especially during COVID when a lot of people weren't able to get out of the house. I said earlier I should have invested in the cardboard manufacturing companies that make the boxes.
The boxes, yep.
I mean, because it was genius on their part, and they became mega even more rich than they were before, Jeff Bezos in particular. Yeah. But now the reality of I don't know that it's sustainable in terms of the turnaround on delivery, just that alone.
Well, I think that we are going to find that we have to lower our expectations, because I do think we've gotten in that habit of, okay, well, I'll just order it from Amazon. I'll have it tomorrow. And that's kind of became a mindset. And I think we're going to start seeing more of, you'll get, and here's the other thing that I don't like. A lot of times you go to Amazon and you find what you want it that day, you click on it, you put it in your cart, and then it says it'll arrive 2 days later. Well, by then it's already in my cart, you know, I'm already moving in that direction. But I think we're all going to have to adjust because it's just not going to happen that fast.
2 days isn't that long to wait. Just be patient. We'll see. Lynn, I want to ask you about the big construction project going on next to the White House.
Okay.
Coming up next on the Big K Morning Show, Lynn Hayes-Spreeland. And in between 10 until 2, Marty Griffin. We'll talk to Marty here in the next few minutes. Get a preview of what he's working on today. Meanwhile, back to Lynn Hayes-Spreeland, who's on our live stream at kdkradio.com. So, Lynn, a lot in the midst of all the heavier stories with greater consequence. The president is in Japan. He addressed live about an hour and a half ago in Tokyo, a group of people from that region of the world. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the story about the addition of the ballroom has a polarizing effect. So initially, the president said he would not touch the current White House. He loved the history of it, but then they took down the whole East Wing for this giant ballroom. But, as they'll tell you, 37 companies and people chipped in private money to build this estimated $300 million ballroom. What do you make of all that?
Well, that's a mouthful right there, Larry, I got to tell you. But let me first say, I disagree with the president on a lot of things. They are political in nature. They're not personal. They're just a difference in the way we view the world or we view our life experiences. But there is something about the White House. And when I saw that first crew show up, and I don't know what the term is, but take a chunk out of the East Wing, that went right to my heart. That seemed personal to me. I don't have any direct connections to the White House. I mean, I've been there on several occasions. But other than that, I don't have any real connection to the White House. But that devastated me. And I'm not even sure why, Larry. I think it's just because the White House represents so much of what I think this country is supposed to be about. In addition, while there's such an attack on DEI, the fact that slaves built that White House, it became even more personal to me. So I am devastated by that decision. I don't understand why we need this big facility to hold these big events. You know, I don't get it. It's been okay for every other president to use the space that's there, and that's enough. So I am vehemently opposed to this, although it doesn't matter now. I mean, as you mentioned, the East Wing is gone. And I've seen sketches of what this new ballroom will look like. I'm not sure which of those are real and which of them are not, but I certainly hope the ones that show this massive addition that seems to make the White House seem small in the meantime. Again, I don't know if that's real or not, but I think that says a lot about our country.
It actually is real, not Israel. I mean, that is
right. Is correct.
Right. It's going to be this giant. It'll I love how they said it'll seat 999 people. Can't we just jam one more right. in and
make, one more.
Make it 1,000? But I haven't heard a good explanation on to why the change. The president said it wouldn't affect the White House, and then the East Wing is gone. Have you heard what the reasoning is? Why didn't we hear that?
Nope. The only thing I heard is that, you know, he wanted this bigger space. And once they got into the project, they realized that the entire East Wing had to go. I think the other thing that's kind of troubling to me about this is it seems as if that is a decision that was made in a vacuum about a house that the citizens of the United States, for the most part, feel like is our house. So I feel like there should have at least been discussion, input. You know, somebody had to, someone should have had to have a historic perspective on what that meant to destroy basically a historic landmark with no regard to the impact on history.
Well, you'll hear and you have heard Barack Obama put in a basketball court, John Kennedy put in a pool. Harry Truman made some major changes. Why not?
But they did not destroy part of the structure for any of those things. I think that is a key difference. I think that every president should. I mean, you're there for 4 years. That's your home. You should be able to make some tweaks, make some changes. You know, every first lady does different things to the interior. And let me just point out as well, I even thought the Rose Garden thing, it looks so different now. It just looked like a patio at a beach resort. I was upset that the Rose Garden, but not as much as destroying the East Wing of the White House. It's just, again, I can't say it enough. It just seems very personal to me. I can't wait till the next time I go back to Washington, D.C. I want to go and see this for myself. I don't know why, because I think I'm just going to be hurt when I see it.
That said, the president did not rule out seeking a third term. Many people thought you couldn't do that, but apparently there are ways that you can.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of at a point now, Larry, where Donald Trump has been very strategic in everything that he has done in terms of federal judgeships, the Supreme Court. So I think he and within his own party. So I think he's put the pieces in place to do whatever he wants until someone in those organizations, in those layers that I've mentioned, decides to say, you know what, this is enough. You know, it was written for a reason that we should not have three terms as a president, whether they are consecutive or non-consecutive. But I think we've lost sight of so much of what was done in the best interest of the country, and now it's kind of what's in the best interest of the party.
We'll see what the ballroom's named when it's completed, and I'm going to take bets on that. Lynn Hayes Freeland, hope you enjoyed your visit to Pittsburgh. It's always good to be home, right?
Absolutely. There's nothing like home.
We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, Larry. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm David Ballarato. At PPG Paints Arena last night,
saw a bunch of people scrambling over there, and we were kind of watching that for a little bit, but saw him take it away. I wouldn't say it ruins the night. I mean, obviously, I hope he's okay.
A fan said to have life-threatening injuries after falling from the stands.
Yeah, and this is coincidental, but there was an issue on Saturday night, as I understand it, Acrisure with a worker there, and then earlier in the year at PNC Park with a fan in the outfield.
Hurricane Melissa is expected to make landfall actually pretty shortly now in Jamaica as a powerful Category 5 storm with maximum sustained winds of 175 miles per hour, and it could dump up to 30 inches of rain.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Category 5 now. They've never had a storm that powerful in Jamaica and really haven't had a big storm in actually many years, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Based on where they are.
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking.
However, people along the Florida coast and the Gulf and all along the shore, they're going to feel some impact of the tidal push, but it's not going to hit the eastern United States. It's anticipated to be well offshore and go north, northeast.
And Pittsburgh turns out to mark the 7th anniversary of the somber occasion. It was 7 years ago yesterday that the Tree of Life massacre took place in Squirrel Hill.
And after all this time, they're finally going to go through the process of rebuilding. And hopefully that will help people heal who feel that they've been through far too much. Thank you, David. Coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.